Otep, greetings, hello, Jumbo, my brothers and sisters. It is so good to be back to talk with you here this evening. I am so happy and blessed to be here. And tonight we want to have one of those real spirit heart discussions, talking with each other. And I know the right folks are on the line already, so we know we're going to have a wonderful and empowering conversation. I thank, first of all of you for your support, your calls, your questions, as I was surviving COVID. And it was a very, very interesting experience. It was really like a pilgrimage. And I want to share that with you tonight, because sometimes when situations like that, you are able to get a vision of things. And I guess that's just the way the human body is, and it's the way the Creator works. It's His point of talking to us at that point, because we're at our most vulnerable position, and so you got no choice but to listen. And so I experienced that for the last 6 days. and I'm just happy to be here now, and I feel great. Still healing, and not 100%, but I am healing. I am feeling great. I do have appetite, got taste again, got smell, you know, all those things that you lose during a COVID crisis. I was able to get it back. And I want to talk a little bit about it, but I want to talk about it differently, though. I want to talk about it from a spiritual realm. and then in that discussion from the spiritual realm, there are things that I saw that we have been trying to do here and on other places, on other programs here in Time for Awakening, and what the discussions have taken us and places we've gone. There are some things that I saw, and this is not a morbid discussion. I'm not trying to spooky no end, but it's real. This is really real. And if any of you have been in this condition or situation where you were placed in a way that the Creator needed to talk to you, you know how it works. You know, we read about it all the time. It's always in the Christian scriptures, the Islamic scriptures, when the Creator wants to talk to somebody. And they, most of the time, put them on their back and say, listen, I got to tell you some stuff. And so today, I want to share that message with you and get your feedback. Maybe you've had some of the same kind of experience. And then we can pass that on to our people. And I think that's the real bottom line. First of all, I want to say, I want to start our discussion off today. All of what has happened and the experience I've gone through reminds me of a song by the great Bob Marley. And in that song, Bob Marley says, if you live for yourself, you will live in vain. If you live for others, you will live again. In the kingdom of Jah, man shall reign. Pass it on. Pass it on. And that's the theme of our discussion today, having, like I said, spent 6 to 8 days in a hospital room, recuperating from COVID. These are the kinds of thoughts that I had. These are the kinds of things that came through my mind that I want to share with you. First of all, the only reason that I am sitting here right now and you hear my voice is because of something called an African village. And the African village, brothers and sisters, came together in my behalf. I'm not even knowing what they're doing. And they came and called on the ancestors. And the ancestors answered. And to, first of all, for my healing and for the progress. You get my age, you know, at this point, you think about things like death and stuff in that case. You know, it's kind of like you almost surrender to it. You know, say, well, you know, look, I lived a long life, but done some things. If I got to go, I got to go. But I heard the ancestors say, nope, not yet. We got to come together. And the village, the African village, came together. There was a literal African village, and there was a spiritual African village. And I felt both of them. And I was able to, I don't hope nobody in the sound of my voice has ever had the COVID situation. It's a funny, tricky kind of illness. And I mean, I've been sick before, been in the hospital. This is different. This was totally different. Because first of all, I didn't feel sick. I wasn't sick. I didn't have a fever. I just was the coordination and the mental ordination was out of place. And what was happening is I was into an envision kind of state all the time. And even to the point the doctor would come in and she said, what planet are you on now? I said, I don't know. You know, and she said, you know, you look like you were on some other planet. But it was that kind of an experience. And so what was happening, this village, this African village, the one that we be talking about all the time, the one we say that we need to try to build, resurrect, rescue, all of that, that was in place. It didn't have to be. It was already there. And it came to work on my behalf on that day, on that period of time, to resurrect me out of that hospital. It happened the week that I went. It was my birthday. I was in the hospital on the day of my birthday. Didn't mean a thing. I didn't, birthday, that didn't faze me. But it was a very powerful moment. I could see ancestors. I have a very powerful ancestor system. Two of my daughters are in the ancestral world, and all of my, obviously my mother, my father, grandfather, grandmother, all of them are in the ancestral world. My wife is in the ancestral world. And I saw them quite often. How, what, when, who, I can't get into that detail of it. But it's enough to know that I know they were there. In particular, one of my daughters, she was the youngest, and we were real tight together. I kept seeing her all the time. No conversation necessarily, but just, I'm here. And that village was coming together, even to the point where the exterior village was working as well, doing things like calling the hospital to find out what's going on, what state. And you know how the hospitals are. They don't usually tell you about that when you're sick, because I hadn't even given permission to enter there. I had one of my good brothers that has our program here, Brother Kwasi, he's on right now. He was with me all the way, completely, to the moment they finally kicked him out, told him, we got to get out. And he stayed right there. He didn't even know what happened. He didn't even know I had COVID. The only person that knew I had COVID was the hospital, and when they did the test. the reason I'm telling you all of this is that I'm telling you, a lot of times we are always talking about building and trying to do this. It's already here. It's just that we've got to access it. We've got to access those. Our ancestors are ready to resurrect us. But you got to do what you got to do to get to them, to make them to do it. You got to listen to them. You know, and I could even get into some stuff like this, and sometimes it kind of frightens me a little bit. There were some times when there were some ancestors, I don't even know who they were. They knew me, but I didn't know them. And I could feel the pull, and I could feel the presence, and I can feel the energy. Now that you can do. The physical village was doing things. Like, for instance, we have the sister, our good sister, Dr. Jenna James, who is an MD. And she has been talking about COVID ever since it began. We've had about 5-6 programs where she's come on and dealt with COVID. And she knew some things that obviously we didn't know. And I didn't know, and I didn't even know to know. But she made some calls to the hospital, and I remember the doctor coming in to the office one day. He said, what kind of work you do? And what do you do? I said, well, I'm retired. I used to teach. And he said, oh, what? And then he went into a discussion. He said, I had a call just now from a doctor, James, wanted us to check on some things. She said, you know what that's about? I said, well, she's a friend. I know she has we have an advocacy group, and we've been talking about some of the things that happen when you catch COVID, that it has to be checked on another realm. And I mean, I had no clue. And one of the things were blood clots. When you get COVID, the threat of a blood clot is very high. And the blood clot is in your stomach. So I didn't know that. So when she called the hospital, she called the hospital on her own and told them to check that. And so the main doctor came in and said to me, we're going to have to do a scan. We're going to do a scan. We're going to take you down to the room, do a scan, check your stomach, and then we're going to give you a shot in your stomach for the prevention of blood clots. I mean, I would have never thought to do that. But what was that? That was the African village. That was the ancestors coming together. I mean, because, you know, a lot of times, you know, things like that, you kind of concede to yourself, well, you know, I'm ready to go home. I'm okay. And I've said that many times. I said, you know, I've lived a good life, had good kids, had fun, friends. If I got to go, I got to go. We all got to go sometimes. So let me go. I mean, you know, I'm cool. Really not. And I wasn't saying it in a morbid sense. And I did say that because I know that COVID is the number one killer of people in this century, in this lifetime. So this, I was at the deadly point. And so I'm okay with that. But I could hear, not yet. It's not time for you to go yet. You got to do some other things and see some other things. So I'm saying to you tonight, my brothers and sisters, that that experience woke up some stuff that I had not looked at or had not chosen to wake up, but it was extremely powerful, extremely powerful. And the part that was the most powerful was that African village that kept, it was right there, and as I said, it's both spiritual and it was a physical one, working at the same time, unorchestrated. Nobody was necessarily directing any of that. It was just being done. So now, if that's the case, what about the liberation of our people? Can't we call on that same force? Because I've been told from the study of history as a historian, that's what the Haitians did. That's what the Maroons of Jamaica did. And that's what all of those other groups, they did that without a whole lot of fuss and loud noise. They called on the ancestral world. They called on the African village. And it was so unique. At this the same time that all this was going on, one of my granddaughters had gone to the Ivory Coast. She left about 2 days before I went to the hospital. She went with her fiancé. They were going to visit his family. And she was flashing me. She didn't know I was in the hospital. She kept sending me pictures back of Africa, of the Ivory Coast. I'm in the hospital, in the bed, and I have a cell phone, and I keep seeing all these pictures she's sending me back, you know, and looked like down home. I thought we were down in North Carolina somewhere. But she kept sending pictures of Africa and of the continent. And what that does, it did in my spirit, it kept waking up that thing that I'm talking about. And he kept bringing all that together. Because, you know, obviously, you know, we're all connected in all kind of ways. You know that. We talk about these theories of connection and the physics of connection, you know, and how that works. And that's true. You know, I know we know that by now. But I'm saying to us tonight that as we look at our fight that we have, and we're in the middle of a fight that's going on all the time. We've got a weapon. We've got a potent weapon. The problem is we got to use it. We're not using it. And that weapon is our ancestors. That weapon is that African village spirit that exists in each and every last one of us. It's there. Sometimes, like I said, you didn't know it. I saw things or didn't understand what it was. You know, and I mean, you know what happens when you're sick. You know, you go into another state of consciousness. And so at that point, but at least I'm able to finish. And when it's done, I'm thinking about it. I started getting better. I started healing. I was feeling good, kind of getting the appetite back. And I could kind of still put all of that together. And that was very, very, very important. And then at the same time that we're doing that, and all of that's going on, you know, like I said, at a birthday, at the same time I'm laying there in the hospital, got nothing to do. I'm watching the Olympics. I'm watching all this mess that's going on with that. I'm looking at that now with a different eye. I'm not looking at it from necessarily an athletically eye. I'm looking at the Bucks basketball game. I'm looking at them call Giannis the Greek freak. I'm trying to figure what the hell does that mean. So those kinds of thinkings were being awakened consistently. What is a Greek freak? He's an African brother from Nigeria with an African mama, and they calling him a Greek freak. So what is that? So I put a little energy into that. I'm watching them, you know, white folks tear up power, you know, taking Cuomo down, and what they were doing and how that was being handled. I'm watching those nurses operating in this COVID environment and what they were doing, how that operates, and looking at how the hospital was doing what it did. I was thinking about the images that I had seen previously to all of this. So all of that was a part of my consciousness and my awakening at the time of that visit. So tonight I thought I just wanted to talk with you all, my brothers and sisters. I really didn't promote the program the way I wanted to promote it, but I figured I'd do it in the podcast part of it, and once we see what our conversation is, how it's going to go and who's going to participate, and I'll promote it in that way. The other interesting thing, though, when I was released and I did get home, the biggest part of the African physical village really came together. Man, I done ate some food that I've never eaten in my life. It's some of the best cooking I've ever seen in the world. My sister made some chicken noodle soup with okra, stuff like that. And another sister today made some baked chicken with curry and turmeric and rice. I mean, I've been eating like a king. So I better turn this loose because I'm big as a house if I keep laying here eating this food and not moving around and being active. But it's been that kind of thing. Consistent calls from friends and family. The only reason I'm talking about all this, this is not a hoo-ha parade kind of thing. I'm talking about this because it's the African village. This is the ancestral African spiritual village that we are trying to always find to help liberate us from this torment hell that we live in. They bamboozled us with COVID. You know that. As Malcolm said, we have been bamboozled, hoodwinked with this whole idea of this vaccination, non-vaccination. When I got back, I called Brother Elliott from Philadelphia, who is the director for Times for Awakening, founder of the Times for Awakening program. He told me about a program that they had Friday when I was in the hospital. And he sent me the clip over. It was this brother, he's a pharmacologist. Oh, you gotta listen to that. If you did not hear that discussion on this past Friday on Times for Awakening, you got to listen, because what he was saying And what he was talking about, one of the doctors there was telling me some of the same kinds of things. Because when I asked the doctor, and I was asking questions about everything they were doing. But what's that? What kind of shot is that? What are you doing now? What's this? Nothing they could do, I wouldn't ask her. So she was telling me, I said, well, I know I got to get the shot now. I guess after this is all over. She said, I'm not too sure. I'm not going to say that. I said, what do you mean? She said, that's not advice I'm going to say, yeah or nay. I said, but when you, I keep hearing all the medical people say you need to get the shot, you need to, she said, that's them, that's not me. I said, okay. She said, first of all, you can't get it right away. Now, anyway, you would have to wait until incubation is over and you go through the period. And then you can take it if you so desire. So I said, you telling me not to take it? She said, I ain't telling you nothing. I'm just saying, that's not my job. My job is to heal you right now. And so obviously there was something she was saying. But one of the things that their brother Elliot was talking to me about and what the program had Friday is they were talking about the significance of making sure you have vitamin D in your body. And the vitamin D is missing from Africa. That's because of the colonialism, transatlantic slave trade. We've been taken away from our natural nutrients. And we lost some of those defense mechanisms that would have helped us. You got to remember, we lived in eco life. You know, we lived in trees and grass. We were nature. We were people of nature, and so all the nature enzymes we would have had with us. But when we were uprooted in the transatlantic slave trade, they uprooted everything. It's like, you know, I used to always tell my students, it was like going to Hawaii and yanking a pineapple tree out of the ground and taking it to Wisconsin and trying to grow Hawaiian pineapples. It can't do it. It doesn't have the roots, don't understand the soil. It doesn't have the ability to suck in the nutrients, the air, the water, you know, and as many times as you can try, you can do it. They do it, it happens all the time in zoology. They go to these countries in Africa and places and get the animals, and then they bring them back to here, to the local area, and try to get them to live just like they were living at home. They can't do that. They're not familiar with that. I recall when Milwaukee had they wanted to get this lowland gorilla, and they brought these lowland gorillas from Africa to the Milwaukee Zoo, and they were going to, you know, train them and have them breed and grow and live here. Well, the problem kept coming up is that the male gorilla wouldn't mate with the female, you know, and they couldn't figure out why he wouldn't mate. And I guess I was telling a friend, I said, yeah, you know, you're sitting there, everybody looking at you in the mirror, and you talking about going and mating. I'm not mating like that, you know. And so he wouldn't do it. He would never mate with that female gorilla because he wasn't in his natural habitat. And that's some of the things that we are experiencing. This is not our home. You know, we are here in a passage. We are not here. This is not home. This is not where we live. This is not where we're from. Our blood doesn't suck the soil. It's just the way it is. I mean, you know, I mean, it's not like it's just the way it is. So I think we have to think about that. And we have to kind of make sure, if you could just silence your mic, I greatly appreciate it because I am picking up that background noise. So if you think about it in that way, you understand sometimes what we're going. And then we're being lied to about things. You know the history of that. You know, they've done all some evil stuff. You know, the Tuskegee experience and all this other stuff they were doing, testing our bodies and looking at our anatomies, trying to understand what better way we could be used to breed. And so science hasn't been good to their African brothers and sisters, physical science. But again, the ancestors said, no, you cannot do that. The problem is we don't access them like we need to do. Sister Benicia, whether it has one of our frequent participants, always talks about accessing the ancestral system world that will operate on your behalf right now. There is that world. And how do I know? I'm a living witness. It went to work for me. I thought I was gone. I did. I really did. I thought it was over. And I was cool. I was all right with it. I called my granddaughter. I said, go in that drawer, pull those papers out. Anything happened, you know what to do. She was ready because I just thought it was over. This is the most deadly disease that we've ever encountered on the planet since we've been here. So, I mean, how am I going to survive this? I wasn't even worried about it that much. You know, these are just, and doctors, they just people. They ain't miracle workers. They ain't gods. But the gods were around them. The gods were around them. So that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to shut up because I will open up the line. Let's see what your thoughts are on this. Have you experienced stuff like this? Do you believe that our ancestral world can be accessed and used right now to be changed, to make things happen for us? That this is not some spook out story, that it's a real occurrence, that we've been duped and fooled and told that stuff don't work, that's old voodoo hoodoo stuff. I remember my grandma she lived that world. And she was a Jesus Christ, put your hand on the radio person. But she understood. She understood that spiritual world. And she never went to the drugstore, bought no medicine, nothing. She'd go out in the backyard and do it. And that's where we have lost. And so I thought maybe this would be a good day to do that, use this courage. Again, those of you who just joined that were here, thank you so much for your contact and keeping in touch and finding out and just, you know, checking on how things were going. A lot was going on. It was just so, and the thing about it, what was really motivating this discussion, it was so many little things going on around it, just like this. The day before I went in the hospital myself, we lost a relative. A very good relative died in New York City and had COVID. She was elder, she was in the 80s. But she didn't die directly from the COVID, but it was because of the COVID that she eventually passed. And I was sitting, and the day that I was getting ready to go to the emergency to find out what was wrong with me, I was reading her obituary. And it was that kind of stuff that I was going through. And I was so sick, I was kind of like feeling so low and down, I couldn't really read the obituary. So I put the obituary aside and said, I'll read it later. It was like that. But it was hovering over my mind, and hovering over my mind like that. So with that, I'm going to ask Brother Lush. I see Brother Lush is on the line. He and I talked. I talked to him, one of the first ones I talked to when I got back, if he would maybe make some comments and any thoughts you might have about that ancestral world that we are not accessing. Have you ever experienced some things of this kind of stuff? I mean, what can we say to our people, you know, about this liberation, salvation fight? We've been trying to say a whole lot of stuff, telling them to do this, do that, go back to Africa, go back here, go back there. The real thing is it's already here, right now. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Brother Lush, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, brother.
Thank you. Okay. Okay. Right. right. Yes. That's right. Yes. That's it. Yes, sir. Today. Thank you so much. I appreciate you, Brother Lush. I really do. Thank you. I think this is Dr. Bridges. I know last time I was on the show, his number kept coming up, unknown caller. It's unknown caller now. Is that you, Dr. Bridges? Dr. Bridges? Okay, is this, this is the down call, right? Oh, okay. See, you know your number's coming up, unknown caller, okay. They'll block you out all the way there. Well, Dr. Bruce Bridges, how you doing, man? How you doing, my brother? How you doing? Yeah, just an open line. Yeah, whatever you want to talk about. Yeah, that's it. There you go. That's right. Right. That's right. That's powerful, Dr. Bruce. Right, powerful. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. That's right. Sure is. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. I'm glad. Listen, let me ask you what's your thought. What is your thoughts on I don't know if you heard the conversation where I talked about that ancestral world accessed me during my illness. Both. They do. Exactly. That's right. That's right. That's right. Among. That's That's right, the Holy Land. That's what that was. Yeah, it's it. So all of that is happening. All of that was happening at the same time. You talk about quantum physics, that's quantum physics. You know, all of that's going on right at the same time. And I can't explain it. I know it's not man, though. I know it wasn't man doing that. You know, the, yeah, it's a spirit realm. Yeah. Thank you. Well, what is the theme? What are your thoughts about a Greek freak? Is that okay? He's African. He's Nigerian. He'd be a Greek freak. Oh, no doubt about it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. No, she's black. No, she's black. I see her. Yeah. No, she's black. She's light like he is, but she's black. No, she's not Caucasian. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm happy to see some of that because and like I said, you know, while I was laying there because I had nothing else to do, I was watching the Olympics, and there was some strange stuff. Yeah, it was strange stuff going on with the Olympics. You know, their brothers dropping the batons, you know, and doing some of that, all that crazy stuff was going on. I don't know. Right. She did. She made a powerful statement. Yeah. Right. Because, you know, the Olympics has always been a political statement a lot of times for black folk. You remember John... what's his name, John, that raised their fist, you know, it's always been, yeah, right, it's always been used as a political statement. Okay, I didn't see that part. Okay, all right, interesting. Right. Because I know that. That's right. That's right. Okay. No, but he did it. Sure did. Sure did. Yep, that's right. And he wrote that red, and you know what I like? He wrote that red book, and he sent his people out into the rice fields and told them they better read it, and if they didn't read it, they're going to lose their life. And he said he came. That's right. Right, that's right. It takes that. That's what Mao did. Mao did that. Yeah. China done told America 2-3 times, you better leave us alone. I'm telling you right now. That's right. Right, that's true, that's true. When I come back, I want to ask you to see if you can give you a chance to recall. You know the brother that writes for the Final Call. His name, I think his name is Harry X. His real name is Harry Edwards. You remember him, do you recall? He writes about sports. He writes about black and sports and the way it's used as a prison system. Yeah, right, exactly. Yes, exactly. His name Harry, I think his real name is Harry T. Edwards. That's it. That's him. That's him. Well, I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to ask you some questions about him. That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's why I want to talk about him in terms of this Giannis thing and some of these other athletes that was in it. So when we come back, I'm gonna go get brother. Okay. All right, let me go to Brother Timothy. Brother Timothy, have you ever had an experience where, you know, you came directly in contact face-to-face with that ancestral world and it didn't scare the hell out of you? Brother Timothy? You might have muted your phone, Brother Timothy. Brother Timothy? Okay, you might have muted or you might have stepped away. Sister Dee Dee, Sister Dee Dee, let me tell you about African Village. Sister Dee Dee, when I got home from the hospital, I guess maybe about a day, 2 days, Sister Dee Dee called me up and she said, she called me Sunday. I got home on Friday evening. She called me Sunday. She said, "You hungry?" I said, "Yeah, I'm hungry." I said, "I'm getting my appetite back now." She said, "I'm going to bring you some." Sister Dee Dee brought me some catfish, some black-eyed peas, some candy yams, some cornbread. Oh, man, I just, like, passed out when I got through. And, I mean, every minute kept in touch to tell me and ask me to, how things were going and what was beginning to happen. And so I really just love this lady. She's definitely a part of that village we've been talking about. She always is. And this was even before I got COVID. She was always checking on stuff, sending me a bottle of water, the bottle of water over, stuff like that. So this is a dear, true example. And those of you, many of you may not have seen or have seen Sister Dee Dee, but Sister Dee Dee wears African clothes every day. And I'm talking sharp stuff. So she has got that African spirit on her. You look at her, you know right away that this is an African blood sister, you know, and that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about that African village, that ancestral world. So, Sister Dee Dee, how you doing, my darling? Thank you. Oh, man, Brother Les needs to be in the pulpit. Because yeah, he's one of them old Baptist preachers. Yes, and that. That's right. No, not at all. Not at all. Right. Yes. Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Right. You need that. You need that. Yeah, because she really, I wouldn't have had a clue to understand about a blood clot, because, you know, you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brother Quaz is the man. Right. Yeah. Now, see, that's the solution. The people always say, "Well, what's the solution? What's the exact?" That's the solution. That's why I'm focusing on this tonight. That is the solution for us as African people in America. It is each other in the spirit of the African village. That is what it is. Man, let me tell you. I'm telling you, the food that these don't. Yeah. That's it. yep, they did. They really did. And a lot of times I fuss at my grandkids because they don't call me. They don't get in touch with me and stuff like that. I be fussing about. Yeah, but they were on it this time. They were on it. My daughter made me some baked salmon, brought that into me the day I got home. And I mean, yeah, they just, and my grandson just left today. And I'm in quarantine. But his mother works at the hospital. She works for Freighter. And so she buckled him up like he needed to be buckled up, sent him up here to do some, see what I needed to get it done. You know, stuff like that. That stuff like that. That's the village. Got you. That's right. And let's kind of like stop fussing at them so much and put our hands around them and say, come on, I mean, let's do this way. And that's right, and teach them. That's what we have to do. That's what they did me. They did. I was raised by a neighbor down the street. That's right. Right. And that's the deal. See, what I remember, I just bought another copy of Eldridge Cleaver's book, Soul on Ice. And what Cleaver said, he said, what happened, we let white folks label us Negro family, Negro community, Negro school, Negro poetry, Negro this, Negro that, you know. And he said that had a devastating impact when it comes to working together. So a lot of us didn't want to be identified as a Negro community or a Negro this or a Negro this. Yeah. Right. Okay. Is that Bobby Wright? The one with Bobby Wright? Okay. Oh, Bobby Ray was bad, brother. Oh, that brother was bad. Right. No, yeah, right. That's made that way. It's made that way. We don't need it. We don't need them. We got what we need. We got what we need. We still got Big Mama around. Queen Mother, the Alcest Society here, man, she came, she got on it. I mean, she was sending food up here like, I don't know what. I had to call her and they said, Queen Mother, yeah, I said, you know what, you need to, she sent me some vitamin D, vitamin C, and all that stuff. And when I had gotten the call today from the Humana nurse, and I was asking her about some of the, she was saying, what's some of the herbs you're taking? And I was telling her, she said, oh, that's good. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's good. You know, and I had never taken these kind of herbs before. This is the village. This is the solution to the problem of African people in America. This is it. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, Brother Earl, good brother. Yes. Right, right, and that's right. You do. You literally hear that. You literally hear that. Because I'm thinking, I'm laying there thinking about insurance policies, where they are, all the other paper stuff. I'm thinking that kind of stuff. And then somebody's telling me, man, shut up. Don't even talk about that. Right, exactly, exactly. All right, all right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yes, sir. Thank you, too. Brother Herbie White, I miss you, Brother Herbie. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you so much. Thank you very much. Thank you much. You don't know how many times Durham came up in all of the midst of my half sleep wake kind of feeling, thinking about Durham and the life we lived there. You know, even though it may have been had some challenges, but it was a village. You know, and you know that. You know how that it was a village. Yeah, it really was. Yeah. So, what's your thoughts on that? The village concept, the ancestral world, grabbing to the grand ancestral world. Right, and I mean the real deal. No, I wouldn't. And I mean, this is some horrible stuff going on with these killings and drag racing in the middle of the day. And, oh, this is unbelievable. It would not be happening. Not on Facebook nor Twitter. That's right. That's exactly right. Exactly right. But all right. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thought about you a million times too, because I know your spirit. I know how you feel about things, and so I appreciate that. I really do. Not trying to hurt people, they just, yeah, you're right. I met some in that hospital room last week. I mean, these are really genuine, good people. Right. That's true. So, thank you, Brother White, I appreciate it. Appreciate it much. Brother Quaz, are you there? Okay, I'm going to come to you back in a minute. I'm going to take a quick break. We have a steak break, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to talk, because I want you all to... You all have heard Brother Quaz. He has his own program that comes on Thursdays at 6 o'clock. He's coming on the Blog Talk system, and he's a very good dynamic called Warrior's Way. And keeping up the fight, and so he's got a good. I'm going to talk about that, but I want to talk. But I got something to say about him that is so genuine, that is just amazing. Like I said, you know, this whole incident brought out a lot of stuff, you know, and even to the point what he was doing. I'm going to have to be real honest. I'm not quite sure I would have been that quick to jump to do what he did. And I want to talk to you about what Brother Quasi is and the kind of person he is and the kind of folk that we have that are members of the Black Reality Think Tank family and the kind of stuff we did. So let's take a quick break and then I want to tell you about Brother Quasi. Okay, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Now, Kwasi Kwara, Brother Kwasi Kwara, has a program called Warrior's Way. Now, let me tell you what this brother did. When I got sick, the day that I got sick, I didn't know what was wrong. He came over. He brought my granddaughter over. And they came over. And I said, listen, I need to go to the emergency. He said, okay, all right, we'll take you. And so I said, well, I can't get up out of this chair. Can you come pick me up? So he and my granddaughter picked me up, lifted me, walked me to the car, got in the car, took me to St. Joseph's Hospital, went in the emergency room, sat down in the emergency room, you know, the normal thing. And they checked me in, and then they said, you're going to have to leave. But he didn't leave. He stayed around. He didn't know. He didn't know what was going on, because I didn't know what was going on. So, and then I went on into the examination room, and they tested COVID and said, you have COVID. So, okay, all right, so I'm back. Now I know what the deal is. So about 2 or 3 days later, I think he called me or something to that effect, and I, at that point, said, you know, I caught COVID. And he said, okay, well, give me the keys to your house. I'm going to go clean your house so that when you get out, you know, you'll be able to clean. I said, no, well wait, Brother Kwasi. I said, I got COVID. I said, you can't go in there and clean that. You know, you need to wait. He said, Dr. Riley, just give me the keys to the car, house, so I can go in and wipe the thing down, get it done. I'm okay. I'll be all right. You know, and then I said, but Brother Kwasi, you're going to need to go get yourself checked first. I'm all right. I got it. I got it covered. You know, and so at that time, sick, so I ain't going to argue with him. I said, okay, so I told my granddaughter to go help him, and she did. She went. They both of them, I guess they masked up, went to my house, took the Clorox stuff and all that, went in there, wiped down, cleaned up stuff, moved around. And then when I got ready to leave, he came to the hospital to pick me up, bring me home. So I said, Brother Kwasi, they'll do it themselves. You know, they'll give you a ride. Dr. Rogers, come on, let's go. I got it. And then he came in the house, because at this point, my house is quarantined. So nobody's supposed to be coming in there, you know, according to them. I got a call from the health department. They told me that nobody should be in the house, that I should be quarantined, and that I would have to stay there 2 weeks. But he never, ever backed away. And everybody tried to back him away because it was hot. It was live. I mean, it was, you know, I was a hot case. And he did not matter. It did not make a difference to him nor my granddaughter either, because she's right there on the spot as well. So I asked myself, and I just being really honest, I ain't going to jive you, could I have done that? And I asked myself that about 2 or 3 times. Because I was scared of this stuff. You know, I've been hearing all the horror stories on the news. Saw the pictures. You know, you see it with them big old machines. I've lost 2 or 3 friends to it. I remember one of my friends, his sister had they did a video thing of him. You could visit him through the video. And I remember seeing that picture. Oh, man, that was like the most horrible thing in the world. So I was totally shocked about COVID-19 and was fearful. I was fearful. I knew it was real. Never mind vaccine and all that stuff. I'm talking about the disease. I knew it would take your butt up out of here. So, and that's good. I can understand that. I just don't want to catch it. But if I catch it, I got to go. But this brother never hesitated at all. And I'm sure anybody would have understood if he just said, well, look, Dr. Rogers, I'm sorry, I can't help it right now. When you get better, I'll come over and check everything out. Never did that. So for that, he is eternally grateful. I am eternally grateful. Not just that, it's just the spirit of that. That's the African village spirit that I'm talking about. You know, we did things like that for each other years back. I remember down south in the Carolinas, people doing that with, and at that time I think we had stuff like typhoid fever, and you had measles. And I remember they used to have this thing where it could catch the measles. It could catch the chicken pox. When you were older, you died of the chicken pox, the measles, all kinds of stuff. Mumps. I remember mumps. You had to do vaccination for mumps. And these weren't killers like this one was. So I'm eternal grateful to him. I wanted to do that and to talk to him and bring him on, give him a chance to see what he wanted to talk about, say what were some of his thoughts, because he was right there. The only thing he couldn't do was come upstairs in that hospital room, but he was right there. So he was feeling some stuff I was feeling. And then after I came home, he came home, came over here and cleaned up. Again, I'm sitting there. I said, "Brother, what? Quite, yeah, cover your mouth. You know, you want." He said, "I got it." He said, "I got it." He kept saying, "I got it." You know, because I would not want him to have gotten sick because of that. Because one of my friends that was here did get sick and caught it, but she's a younger person, so she was able to survive. She's okay now. She comes out of quarantine tomorrow, and so she'll be all right. So with that, Brother Kwazi, how you doing tonight, my friend? Did I tell that story right? Okay. That's the African village, huh? Okay, all right. Yes, sir. What are your thoughts? What are some of your thoughts about all this stuff? Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And you and I had talked a lot about previously about, you know, the warrior spirit and, you know, karate, because I know you teach karate and you teach different schools of karate. And we had talked about that. I was always impressed with understanding that warrior mindset and how a fighter works. You know, and you and I have had some long conversations about people that were fighters and what is it that they go through in a mental process to condition their minds to take on an enemy and things like that, you know. So this time I saw it. You didn't have to tell me. I saw that fight. You didn't let that, and that was a deadly enemy, and you did not let that stop you, you know. And that told me a lot about a fighter, a warrior. A warrior won't back away from nothing, you know. And that's something. So his program comes on Thursday night, 6 o'clock, on Blog Talk Radio. it's on his Facebook. What is that? Is it under your Facebook name, or is it on Warriors Way? Right. Okay. All right. Well, if you get a chance, folks, on Thursday, please do listen. It's also on the Black Reality Think Tank website as well. You can go on there and get the link. It's a link for them. And you can listen to the link and listen to his discussion. He has very good dialogue. He's going to be talking this week about, saving your money and creating your own banks. And things like that. He's going to do an economic presentation, so it'd be great. But Brother Kwasi, I just wanted to tell you on public air, I appreciate you, man. You know, I really do. You know, I appreciate you. Thanks a lot. Okay? All right, before I go to, I want to go back to Dr. Bridges in a minute to talk about Harry Edwards. But before I do, we've got some callers on, and I want maybe just see if they want to say something. Not quite sure that my brother. Brother Timothy, you back yet? Okay, I've been trying to call you, but you weren't around. So how you doing, man? What have you been thinking about all this? I appreciate you always call and check on me. You'll call and you text me 10 times. Dr. Ryan, you all right? You know. Yeah, you do, and you do. You don't be playing. I got to call you. Right. That's right. Yep, that's right. Well, I appreciate it. You're not bothering me. I used to joke about it sometime. But I appreciate it. Yeah, we connected. This is family. Right. Uh-huh. Right. Right. That's true. Right. Yes. Yes, you do. Yes, you can. Right, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. All the time. Yeah, that was good. You got to listen to Elliot's program. That was powerful. Right. Right. That's exactly right. Right. Right, exactly. That's exactly right. And it's not going to get any better. It's not that they're talking, they're predicting some very bad things for the winter and the fall. You can see what's going on in Texas, in Florida right now. You know, and it's really... Okay. Right. And that's what I liked about Brother Elliott's guest that he had on Friday. The person was very pragmatic. He wasn't necessarily attacking anything or anybody. You know, he was just looking at the practical side of whether or not you should, how you should look at taking the shot, considering it, what are some things, some factors, what's the least, what's the worst. You know, and that's why that was an exceptionally wonderful discussion. And so hopefully... Okay. You're right. No doubt about it. You're right about that. You hit the nail on the head. I think that that's the way we got to look at it. So for those who might not have heard me earlier, I was suggesting that you listen to Brother Elliott's program from last Friday. It was a very strong informational piece about vaccines. And they were all pharmacologists and doctors. And they were very practical, very pragmatic about, things and the way they saw and the way that research. They were talking from research, and they were talking from ways that, that's very important. So, you might want to go back and listen to that. I did that with Brother Elliott talk. I talked to him during the week, and he told me to make sure that I listened. I did listen to that tape. Very powerful, talked about the power of vitamin D and what that does. So if you haven't heard that, be sure to do that and take a look at that, listen to that that broadcast. That's this past Friday, Time for Awakening. You can get it on the website, www.timeforawakening.com. Okay, thank you, Brother Timothy. Appreciate it. Let me go to 919-519. Well, go ahead, my brother. 444-453. Go ahead. I'm cool. I'm doing good. Doing good. I'm not trying to overlook you. I'll just, go. Right. How you doing? Good. Thank you. What's his name? Okay. Okay. Right. Yeah, I saw that. Right. Oh, I appreciate you, Brother West. I always appreciate you, man. Yeah, like I said, I wasn't trying to move over you. I'm sorry. I was trying to grab some poke. Yeah, but that's it. That's good. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay. No doubt about it. And that's what we're trying to talk about tonight. We can make a change happen. We can make a change happen if we come together as an African village and look at it from the ancestral spirit world. We can do it. I'm telling you, that's how our ancestors did it. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I heard them. And I heard them too, and I listened. But like I said, you know, you sometimes you get tired fighting. I mean, you know, like that's why Brother Quaz is that warrior spirit is important. You know, I was kind of like saying, okay, I'm ready to go home. I'm tired anyway. You know, plus everybody there, all my family, my wife and children are there, so let me go home with them. I'm thinking like that. Hey, Sister Dede. Okay. All right. I told Sister Dede that the other day with all that good cooking she did. That's it. You know what I'm saying? Well, all right. Thank you, my brother. I appreciate you. Bless you. Bless you, too. Let me go back to the door. 919-519. Carolina? Yes, sir. Yes, hello, how you doing?
Just fine. This is
Chairman Dunn. Oh, good. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, Brother Tim. Okay, all right. You doing okay in the Carolinas? Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. But Dr. Maxwell, you going to say anything with me today? Or you going to be quiet again? Uh-oh. I'm going to have to come down to Durham and see what me and Dr. Bridges can do to get you, because I definitely would love to hear from you, because I know you. Oh, okay, now I got you. Okay, I'm getting ready to start fussing. How you doing? How you doing? Yes, sir. Yep. Right. Right. Thank you so much. God bless you too. I appreciate that. I enjoyed that sermon that day you did at my brother's church. That was great. That was really great. I enjoyed that. I had a chance to tell you about it, but that was powerful. Powerful message. Powerful. And he even sent me the copies of the handouts that you had. And I got a chance to read those handouts. So that was great. I appreciate that. I really do. Okay. Thank you, sir. All right. Morristown, New Jersey. Marshtown, New Jersey. Just listening. Brother Arthur Harris, Marshtown, New Jersey. Maybe your phone muted, not sure. But anyway, appreciate you listening. Thank you so much. And just stay with us. My sister from D.C., 301. Good evening. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes. Yes, thank you. Good. Right, I remember that. Right. 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 Exactly. Right. How is he doing? How's your son doing? Okay. Well, it could be expected. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Exactly. That's good. Okay. Right. Yes. Okay. Please go ahead. That's what this really is about. Right. Beautiful. Beautiful. Right. Right. That's right. right. That's right. That's right. That's exactly right. That's right. Right. That's beautiful. Right. Right. Exactly. Yes, indeed. How can someone, who would they reach out to? Reverend Chapman's organization? Okay, right, Action Network. Okay, oh, good. Right, exactly. Okay. Beautiful. Give us the website one more time. Thank you, my sisters. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And I thank you for your thoughts. And I felt it. You called somebody's ancestor woke up because I felt them. I tell you, I'm true. I'm serious. Yeah, that's right. They really are. They really are. Mike, take care. Thank you. My sister Ann, how you doing? I was born in, you were one of the first people I asked about, Bruce. I said, Bruce, when you heard from Ann? You know, he said, I got a call. I ain't heard from her yet. You know, so how you doing today? Good, good. Yeah, doing right better. Well, Bruce, yeah. Yeah, you. No, you all right. Yep. Yeah, you good. But I did. The first thing I said, Bruce, you talked to Ann. He said, no, I ain't talked to her yet. I got to talk to her. I said, okay, yeah. Tell him, come on today. We can maybe say hello to each other. But I'm glad. You everything going okay in the Carolinas? Okay. Right. Great. Beautiful. Okay, anything you want to add? Anything you want to say to this discussion? Okay, well, I'm happy, because I'm glad to hear from you, hear your voice. Glad to hear your voice. You know? One of the, probably, you know, once things get all the way back normal, I had really thought about coming down to Durham and get together with you and Bruce and Brother Herbie White, you know, Brother Maxwell, Michael, go out and have a big old sit-down, chit-chat, laugh, and I can see us doing that. So I'm really planning to do that. but I still got to do a little healing. I got some healing stuff I got to do. But you're right. Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Okay, let's see. I think I did get everybody that would probably normally say something. Okay, now, Dr. Bridges, you there? Dr. Bridges? Okay, Harry Edwards. The reason I'm asking about Harry Edwards is during the Olympics, there was just some strange energy going on. The Olympics has always been political. You know that back in the day with Jesse Owens and Adolf Hitler and all the way back there, there are statements that are made. What do you think, because I know he has talked about it in some of his writings, this is what I saw. I saw a lack of concentration for many of those young African-American athletes. Somebody is not coaching them. There's no way that young girl should have smoked that marijuana and she's getting ready to run in the master race of her life that would have done all kind of things for her. But yet she still made that mistake. And then the young guys that dropped that baton, and these are people that are trained. You know, if you run a relay, that's the main part of the relay. It's not even always the speed. So that was something psychologically going on in there that was troubling. Simone Biles deciding not to do this, and the pressure coming from over this side here, and the basketball team, they did get lucky, they did come out victorious. But I was thinking about some of that stuff he had written and about where that competitive system drives people in a different kind of way. Are you familiar with some of that? I'm not trying to get you to bring, but just in the thoughts of it, because I know you know his work. He's a sociologist, and he's talked about all of this and what it did, like they did to Jesse Owens, like they did to Lee Elder, like they did to Athena Gibson, some of the greatest human fighters and sports people in the world have all had to endure some horrendous stuff. Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, you know, we know all that, all of it. What are your thoughts about that? No, it isn't. Right. And then I look at the tennis star, that young girl. She's Asian. Yeah. Now look at her. She's going through stuff. Yeah. So something is in there. Something ain't right. Yes. It is. I think it is more mental. I think so. I'm gonna pull some of Harry Edwards stuff out and take a. They don't. They play ball and keep their mouth shut. Because I remember. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, yeah. She's. That's true. Somebody had put on Facebook one day last week or so, was it the quarterback for the Packers, they said if he was black, what do you think would happen to him? And I wrote, he'd be unemployed. That's what would happen to him if he was doing that. What's the guy? What's the quarterback name for the Packers, man? Yeah, it's right here in Green Bay. I just can't think of his name. You know, but what? Yeah, right. Yeah. Rogers. Yes, she's on. So, Sister Wahid, is that possible? Okay. Okay, Kate. Please do. Let's do that. Let's do that soon. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can say it, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Okay, well, I'm gonna come through you though. I'm gonna work through you to get. Okay, gotcha. Okay. Okay, and I think I know her too. I'm just trying to. Right, okay. Well, listen, folks, it is 9:00. Okay. Okay, well, it's 9:00. I gotta go, but we have enjoyed it. I really appreciate. I got some background noise. I don't know where they're coming from. I really appreciate all of you for your. Brother Kwasi, is that you? Brother Kwasi? Okay, yeah, thank you. Let me, because I need to close this out. But next week we'll be back, you know, same time, same station. I appreciate all of you. I have enjoyed this conversation tremendously. Have a great and safe week. And thank you again for your support during my time of absence. Have a great and wonderful week. Thank you, Rob.
Absolutely. This is what love looks like.
All right.
All right, my brother.
Yes, sir.